Turn with me to the book of Acts. I love that book because it makes Christians nervous. Jesus sent people to a place to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I love that, Acts 2. And suddenly, there's a sound. Notice that the Lord is not quiet. Most of the churches I went to were quiet. But Jesus is very loud. He's very boisterous. In fact, when he's coming back, he's going to holler so loud it'll blow your grandma right out the grave. No grave will hold anybody down. The Lord's coming with the trumpet, with the shout. Some people say you need to calm down when you get in church. No, that's when you need to shout. And I enjoy being at a believer's convention. Ladies and gentlemen, I preach revivals, camp meetings, and you name it, I do 50 revivals a year, 51 actually, camp meetings and conventions. And I figured the easiest place to get healed is at a believer's convention. The easiest place to receive anything from God is at a believer's convention because everybody's believing. Now, usually when I'm preaching, I'm cutting through ice and doubt and unbelief and Pharisees and everything you can think of. But I don't feel that here today. So I'll tell you what, the rapture liable to come. It could happen today. Wouldn't that be something? I'd be preaching on some boom, sucked out of here. And they ran that tape on television and said, there he went. There he goes. Holes all over Tarrant County Convention Center. I was preaching at a Bible college just the other day, and this theologian came up to me with his homiletically, hermeneutically, philosophically, theologically way of talking. And he said, are you one of those escapists? I said, man, I'm going out on the first load. You better know I am. He said, what you going to do when you get there? I said, I'm going to keep your food warm. That's what I'm going to do. I'll just microwave for you. You want to stay here and let the devil kick your brains out? Go ahead. I'm going to the mayorship of the land while I eat it hot. Glory! Somebody shout. To eat it hot in God's word. But there's something in the word of God that has been forgotten over the centuries. And I want to deal with that. Acts chapter 2, I want to start reading. Acts chapter 4, I want to start reading. Just one verse in verse 24. Let me read a couple of verses here. And God will bless you. I am of the opinion that you can believe in faith, but faith without works is dead. What I mean that there's got to be some action to what you believe in. I believe in confession, bless God, but I believe what you confess you must possess. And I don't think it needs to take 100 years to get it done, because in this last day, God said he's doing a quick work. And Acts chapter 2 church has been birthed. It's not a very big church. It's 120 people. But they've got something in them called the Holy Ghost that the world hadn't saw in that magnitude. And they begin to speak with other tongues. I had a good Baptist theologian friend of mine said, why do you speak in tongues? I said, well, bless God, it's the only prayer I can't mess up. Because I don't know what I'm saying. It's wonderful. Sometimes I'll just go stand in front of the mirror and watch the Holy Ghost pray in tongues inside of me. I just look and watch. I said, that's wonderful. I don't know what he's saying, but that's wonderful. It wasn't long ago I got so excited I needed to hear the word of God. I stood in front of a mirror and preached to myself for 45 minutes. Spit flying, gave an altar call and answered it. Praise God, I enjoyed myself. I just did. Hallelujah. I did. I just said, I love everybody, bless God. One time I saw old Robert say, something good gonna happen to you. And I turned around and said, well, who's he pointing at? I didn't know that. And then something good did happen to me. What was it? A revelation of Jesus Christ. This act, we're going to get to the word in a minute, glory to God. This is an hors d'oeuvre you chew on in a minute, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's read verse 20. Here the disciples or the apostles have got into trouble. Why? Because of preaching Jesus' name. And they says this, and I love this verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. Notice this, the world was glorifying God over what these men were doing in the power of Jesus' name. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now I want to get to verse 29. Now notice they begin to pray this way. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Notice they didn't deny the threatenings. My God, they were going to kill these people. They didn't deny that. But they said this, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. I want to deal with the word boldness today as the essential ingredient of getting your faith moving in the line that God wants you to move. Sometimes I call it the forgotten ingredient. I made up my mind, brother, as long as there's a sinner on the earth, that I am in that. People ask me why I preach so much, because Jesus said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'll preach to a dog if you'll stand there long enough. It doesn't make no difference to me. I want something called boldness in my life. Now, I'm not talking about religious zeal, but I'm talking about a God-called boldness in the word of the Lord. It is the forgotten ingredient. Now, notice this. They prayed for boldness. If you keep going on, brother, boldness needed to be done, because the next chapter, Peter had to tell a man, Satan has filled thy heart, and a man dropped dead. Bless God right there in the church. You keep going on, and because he prayed for boldness, he had to meet himself. Brother, it takes great boldness to see who you really are when you're standing there and see the flaws that are in your life. And God sent him to Cornelius's house. And the first thing he said, he's a little prejudiced. He said, you know, I shouldn't be here because I'm a Jew. But it didn't make no difference. God was doing a new work and a new plan. And I tell you what, he's still doing that today. So I want to deal with the word boldness. Notice this, boldness produced the tongue talking church of the Bible. I don't mind speaking in tongues in public. I cussed in public. Why can't I speak in tongues in public? I danced in public. Why can't I dance for the Lord in public? I don't care where I'm at, brother. You can't embarrass me because I'm a dead man. And if I'm a dead man, dead people don't get embarrassed. They don't care what they look like. Bless God, they're dead. It's not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. I tell you what, sometimes I get up in the morning, look at myself in the mirror and go, hoo-hoo, Jesse, you got it, boy. You got it. And I'm not talking about me, but I'm talking about the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ that's ruling and reigning inside of me. Boldness produced the tongue-talking church of the Bible. I enjoy attacking the devil. He's been attacking us long enough. I get up in the morning, I say, okay, God, let's go. And that devil says, oh, no, he's up again. You never know what he's going to do. Right, I don't know what I'm going to do. Isn't it wonderful? Because if you made a mistake, you wouldn't know you made a mistake because you don't know what you're doing. You are walking by faith in Jesus' word. So boldness produces the tongue-talking church of the Bible. What does that simply mean? That simply means this. After you fill with the Spirit, after you've come to a believer's convention, brother, this convention is not here to tickle your ears. It's for you to grow in the word of God, that when you go back home, you've got the full armor of God on. And when you get there, that devil will look at you and say, I thought he was small, but no, you heard the word of faith. You're coming back, brother, with a bigger helmet, with a bigger breastplate, with a bigger sword. You're going to cut his gut. That's out because of the power of Jesus in your life. Boldness produced the tongue-talking church of the Bible. I don't know how anybody can get depressed when they got Jesus Christ in them. I really have a hard time getting depressed. I got to make myself. I'm serious. I got to get in the flesh to do it. But it's not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. I enjoy ministering the word of God. I was on a plane one time, sitting next to a doctor. I never forget it. And I just looked up, and she was a lady doctor, and I said, do you know Jesus? She said, who? I said, do you know Jesus? She said, well, I go to church. I said, well, hardy, har, har. That don't mean nothing. Do you know Jesus? She said, well, I'm Lutheran. I said, good. Do you know Jesus? I'm not interested in what affiliation you're in. I just want to know if you know Jesus. She said, well, it looks like you do. I said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. She said, man, there's something about you. She said, I like to know what God looks like. And I unbuckled my seatbelt and said, look, he looks like me. I made it his image. I made it his likeness. I am what he said I am. Hallelujah. Boldness. Boldness. I had a man tell me the other day, who do you think you are? I said, how much time you got, boy? I'll tell you who I am. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm more than a conqueror. Glory to God. I am what Jesus said I am. And I don't care what the world says, I am what Jesus said I am. If I spit on you, it's the Holy Ghost. Don't worry about it. Are you hearing me? Listen, I got an hour to preach a 3-hour sermon. I'm hurrying up. Boldness produces the tongue-talking church of the Bible. Don't I look younger when I get closer to you? Come on. Hallelujah. Man asked me the other day, how'd you get that young woman? Yeah, I'm only 3 years older than that woman. What are you laughing at? The difference is I don't dye my hair like she does. No, no, praise God. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know why? Because I tried that once. My sister-in-law is a beautician. She put a rinse in my head. My head came out blue. I don't want that. My hair done got so white it turns blue if you put another color on it. That's all you'd hear, the blue-headed preacher. We need enough of that junk. Give me boldness, Lord. Boldness produces the tongue-talking church of the Bible. Notice you have to pray for it. I get up every morning not knowing what, who I'm going to walk into, who I'm going to meet, what I'm going to do, what situation's going to happen. But if I got boldness locked up with the faith of the Lord in my life, no devil in hell can destroy anything God's got inside of me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that boldness produces that tongue-talking church of the Bible. I tell you what, some of you ministers here, you may be having trouble in your church. Well, let me just tell you what C.M. Ward said. If they're about ready to run you out of town and they're marching you out of town, get in front of them. Make everybody think it's a parade and you leading them. Glory to God, you just leading them. Lead them out. Hallelujah. Make them think it's a parade. Hallelujah. Boldness. Man, I'm sweating my makeup off. Glory to God. The lady said, don't smear it, just pat it. I do a lot of television work myself, but you gotta wear makeup. I'm a Mary Kay man myself. I got my own bag. I got my own bag, glory to God. One time I forgot to take it off, went and eat lunch. I had just finished doing television production. I forgot to take it off. I walked into this restaurant, this man said, oh yes. I went, oh no, God. One time I saw Shambach preaching. You know how Shambach preached? Won't somebody run around this tent? Somebody. Won't somebody. And boy, he grabbed this and he did like this and it turned all brown. And Shambach said, whoa, I used to preach against this and throw it down. Glory to God. Boldness produces that tongue talking church. Somebody shout, somebody. Come on, glory to God. God's power's in this place. I don't see why any of you people can't get healed today. If you can't get healed in a believer's convention, bless God, you can't get healed nowhere. Do you understand? It's the power of Jesus' name. It's the anointing of God. It makes no difference. God can do anything. Bless God, you can believe for. Somebody shout glory. Woo. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. What I'm saying is this. Boldness is that forgotten ingredient. We've forgot it. We have forgot it, man. Brother, when Brother Copeland preaches, Brother Savelle preaches, it stirs me up. Got a Copeland gun and a Savelle gun. People say, where's Avanzini's gun? He owns a suit. He's the one bought it and paid cash for it too, bless God. Hallelujah. Boldness produces that tongue-talking church of the Bible. I like this stuff. I'm going to buy this tape myself. Lord, you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? This is not a show. This is the Holy Ghost inside. It's being let out. It's man in a Christ-like state. I love to aggravate the devil. One time me and my pastor called me. He said, would you go to Charity Hospital? I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. I said, yeah. He said, there's a girl tried to kill herself 3 times. He said, would you come help me pray for her? I said, where's she at? He said, she's on the 3rd floor. I said, that's the crazy ward. He said, yeah, that's why I called you. I said, okay. Had to have a ticket to get in there. And I never forget that man in the elevator. He said, don't lose this ticket. Because they got people around here nuts, like a fruitcake, but they look sane. Hallelujah. Who are you thinking about, me? Hallelujah. I was looking for this. Excuse me. So I went to that place, and the Lord said, today you'll have boldness of such a degree, it will shock people. I said, Frank! I said, God, I'm going to do something today. He said, man, we're going right in the middle of the pits of a bunch of insane nuts devils. I walked in there, bless God, looking for this little lady. And boy, I walked in, they had people's hands tied to themselves. Had them old, you know them old, what they call those things, a furnace that used to look like an accordion, steam looking thing. They had them up there and it was hot. And I thought, these people need air conditioning better than anybody else. They were just tied to themselves. Some were vomiting. It was a terrible place. And I just looked at that and I could see devils. I walked around, I mean, there's devils everywhere. You know, and I thought, bless God. I said, Lord, he said, explosion going to hit in about 3 minutes. Watch out. But I walked in. I said, we need to talk to this person. And this social worker said, I must go in the room with you. I said, come on, mama. Come on. We walked in there and there was this little girl up on the seal, on the windowsill, had bars on it like this. And she was just balled up like that. I walked in and man, I walked up to her. And I said, little lady. And that devil said, I will kill you, Jesse. I went, you know me by my first name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Does the devil know you by your first name? Does he know your name in hell? He said, I'll kill you. I said, oh, no, you won't. Wham! She come off that windowsill, grabbed me, spit flying, rolling on the floor. The social worker going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My pastor going, in the name of Jesus. I mean, I got this woman in my face. I mean, spit flying, bless God. I mean, we were just casting devils. All of a sudden, she went, ugh. And out that devil came. And that social worker said, what happened? I said, the devil came out of her. And I don't know where he's going. You better get out of here. And she took off. Glory to God. Boldness produced the tongue-talking church of the Bible. Hallelujah. I guess by now you figured out I'm not a faith teacher. I'm not a teacher. I teach faith. I'm a preacher. I'm an evangelist. I can't help myself. Show me a sinner, son. And that is a piece of pie to me. That lady's delivered today. We forgot. Listen, I come out of there and there was people. The Lord said, cause a ruckus. I walked in this room, people full of demons. I stood slap in the middle of that room. I went, hey! And they all look. I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind every demon and devil in hell that's in all these people. One of them devils going, rawr! We was having fun. It was great. Glory to God. It was wonderful. I forgot my ticket. Man, I tried to get electrical locks. That devil wanted us out so bad. Man, so we tried to open the door and boom, boom, beat it. And the lady's trying to get the lock down. She was on the other side of the glass. She said, I'm sorry. It doesn't work. Here come a nut, a fruit cake. Bless God. I mean, insane. They said, you want to leave? You want to leave? You want to leave? You want to leave? I said, yeah. She went, dang, stuck her finger out again and stuck her finger in that electrical socket. It went, and the door opened up. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. Went into that elevator. Bless God. Man said, where your ticket? I said, I forgot it. He said, how do I know you're not crazy? I said, in the name of Jesus. He said, yes, sir. I'll put this thing down. Get me out of here. Boldness produces the tongue-talking church of the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Don't turn to it. If you want to, you can. Ephesians 3 verse 12 says this. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Notice the next two words. By faith in him. While you're turning there, and I'll read it again. You know, I don't live by my faith. I read a scripture in Galatians said that I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now, that's today, live. Listen to this. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Have you ever done a study on the faith of the Son of God? Who needs a boat when you can walk on the water? By the faith. Now, my faith is developed each day. Don't misunderstand me. But bless God to get the things that God wants me to do. I jump up on his. The Lord loves me, ladies and gentlemen. He can't help himself. He just does. When I pray, he'll say, come here. Come here. Sometimes I just go to pray and I say, listen. And he always asks me, what do you want? What, Jesse? What do you need? I go, nothing. Hello. How you doing? Just come to say hello, bro. What's going on? You're my father. You're a nice person. Just thought I'd tell you that. Then sometime he'll wake me up in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, God, what do you want? He says, nothing. Hello. How you doing? I just want to look at you a little bit. Yeah, that's true. See, I have more than a relationship. It's called fellowship. See, me and the Lord are one. See, I'm not interested in publicity. I've had a lot of people say, I've heard about that guy. I can't seem to get him. Who is he? I go in and I go out. Bless God. I don't want people remembering me. Why? Well, for one thing, bless God, I am a servant of Jesus. I'm a dead man. What do you want to remember a dead man for? I want you to remember this Christ that's in me. See? Now, Ephesians 3, are you there yet? Listen to this. Boldness is courage and confidence of free access to God. That scripture in Ephesians 3:12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith. Notice that. By faith in him. Now, Paul's talking about the church, the mystery of the church. He says, brother, when I come to the throne, I come with boldness. I have access to it. I know I've got confidence in it because by faith, the Lord will accept who I am and what I am. Boldness, see? So boldness, people ask me, why are you so happy all the time? Well, bless God, I'm loved in heaven and I'm loved on the earth. I'm not talking about this. Well, most sinners love me. I'm on secular television. Bless God, I preach to sinners. And they watch my program. I make them mad. Oh, I had a homosexual so mad the other day. I didn't know. I mean, I was out of town. They called in my office. And I tell you what, bless God, I was preaching. I'm not against homosexuals. I'm against homosexuality. See, I'm against sin, bless God. And boy, I mean, he called my office up and says, I just tell you, y'all just ruined my day. Just ruined my day. I had one come up to me one time. He says, I think I got a devil. I said, I think you do too. One time on an airplane, the Lord spoke to me. A woman went right by me. And as she went by, I just happened to look up at her like that. And I saw that devil in her. Jerry, I saw that devil. So I didn't say nothing. I just sat there. I was on Delta. I was on the bulkhead seat there. And the Lord said, what you doing? I said, I'm on this plane. I'm going to Seattle. He said, you just see that devil in it, lady? I said, yeah. He said, what are you going to do about it? I said, nothing. I said, Lord, I'm on a plane. He said, I know where you are, boy. I'm talking to you. He said, you mean to tell me you're going to leave that woman demon possessed? Yes. I said, God, I'm on a plane. He said, I know where you are. I said, well, you do it. Listen, he said, I use you. You're my hands. See, ladies and gentlemen, the heart of God is the Father. That face of God is the Son, Jesus. That voice of God is the Holy Ghost, but the hand of God's the church. The hand of God's the church. He said, you mean to tell me you're going to leave that woman possessed? I said, I am on a plane. I am buckled up. He said, you don't have to get out your seat to cast that devil out. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, rebuke that devil right where you are. He said, you don't even have to say it out loud. I said, okay, I can do that. He said, well, start. That devil's been too long in that woman. And she sat 3 seats behind me in the center seat, full plane, man. So I just bowed my head. The man said, pardon me. I said, that's the Holy Ghost talking. Excuse me. I don't have time to talk this man. I just prayed in the Holy Ghost. Then I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus, you devil from hell. I bind you. I call you down. I adjure you by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Sometimes I like to use a little King James. It's a lot of fun. Praise God. Boy, and all of a sudden this woman going, and I went, it's working. It's working. So I just kept on. This man that was sitting there kept looking. He said, somebody going nuts. I said, she's got a devil. Whoa, a devil, a devil. I said, and I looked at him, I knew he didn't know. I said, right now, an exorcism is being performed. Now, what happens? Boldness. But notice it's done by faith. Boy, after a while, this woman's twisting, and that's it. Here come them stewardesses. What's the matter? What's the matter? Finally, I said, she's got a devil. And them stewardesses went, whoa, a devil, a devil. I said, she's demon possessed. I said, but there's one greater than the devil here, and it's not me. His name is Jesus. Glory, Jesus. I looked at that and I said, come out. She went, wah, and just went limp. Man said, he killed her. I said, I didn't kill her. She was freed. Going to Seattle. It got to the captain. He come back, put it on automatic pilot. He said, sir. I said, listen, I figured you didn't want no devils on this plane. Don't get mad at me. I said, it ain't my fault. I tried not to do anything about it. I said, but you can't leave somebody possessed. You know what I'm saying? He just looked at me and smiled. I thought, oh, God, they're going to have the police waiting for me to get to Seattle. He says, come here. He takes me. I've never been in a cockpit before. They got more. Boy, I'm looking at all these little machines and dials and stuff. He says, I'm charismatic. I said, what? What? I'll never forget that man. A Delta captain. He said, I'm charismatic. I said, you are? He said, yes. I said, let's pray in tongues. Come on. It was wonderful. I went and sat back down. The man next to me says, is there any more like that on this plane? I said, I didn't see any. Well, good. I said, does that bother you? He said, I'm a Baptist. Anything bothers is Baptist. That's what he said. That ain't me. Give me boldness, Lord. Notice they prayed it. Lord, grant unto us boldness that we may preach this word. Let me tell you something, man. Why do you think so much heat hits Brother Copeland, Brother Hagin, Brother Savelle? Why? I got mad. I'm a television evangelist. I'm from Louisiana. Look like everybody falling in Louisiana. I heard somebody fell in Texas the other day. I shouted. I said, thank God. It ain't Louisiana. I mean, you know, thank you, Jesus. Sometime I get on a plane, people say, what do you do for a living? I'm a motivational speaker. No, I wouldn't say that. I said, I'm an evangelist. Evangelist? I said, yeah. I had a guy tell me this the other day. One told my tape man the same thing. I just had this day. He said, oh, you preachers are just in it for the money. I said, how come you're not in it then? If you think it's that much money, how come you ain't in it, boy? He went, isn't that dumb? That's a stupid question. Preaching the gospel don't make a lick of sense intellectually to start with. Think about it. If you don't take care of yourself, you can pastor church for 30 years and your husband died, they'll throw your wife out the parsonage. If you don't take care of yourself, let me tell you something about preaching. Man, I mean, it's a tough job. We got to be plumbers, presidents of corporations, dealing with the IRS, which ain't the easiest thing in the world. Got to be an administrator, a counselor, a psychologist, a psychiatrist. And we get just as tired too. What would you do come Sunday morning? Your pastor wasn't there. He'd say, where is he? And he'd say, just put a tape on. I didn't feel like coming. Well, sometimes you do that. I don't feel like going. That's one told me this Sunday. You know, I used to go to those believers convention. I said, why'd you quit? And this is, they said, you know, Brother Kenneth, Brother Glory really sowed great seeds. Great seeds in us. I had another person tell me. One was really very, very complimentary of them. But this other person, I just happened to be walking, said, well, I used to go. He said, but you know, that's not, you know, that movement went by. I said, what? Are you nuts? I said, come here, boy. Come here. I said, Genesis talks about it. It started in the very first verse. And you know, it started in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was not form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved. The Hebrew word said, the Spirit of the Lord fluttered. I said, notice, he was getting in the faith. Now, notice he couldn't do nothing until the Father said something. And Jehovah said, boy, watch this stuff. And that Holy Ghost, waiting. See, I call that the creating factor of the Trinity. See, God, Jehovah talks, but the Holy Ghost moves. That's how I got saved. In that bathroom, Holy Ghost was fluttering over me. Just like that. And God said, Jesse, light be. And that Holy Ghost said, sound good to me. And went inside of me. Now, you got to remember, when I got saved, I had hair. I was a rock musician. I had hair. Boy, it would just flip. I could stop walking and my hair kept going. Praise God. I had hair. I dyed it black. I dyed it strawberry red. One time I afroed it. Boy, that was something. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, it just looked weird. Hey, what's happening, man? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Smoked enough dope to pollute Fort Worth. Drank enough booze to float battleships. But I had a praying mama who had great boldness. She said, it's your tough luck. You born to me. You getting saved whether you like it or not, boy. I said, you can get out of here, woman. Boldness. Now, why did she say that? She had courage and confidence of free access to God by Ephesians 3:12. She said, I have boldness and access and confidence by faith in him. I got the promise of my family. Now, brother, I was a devil from hell. I was a heathen and a good one. I was a professional sinner. My mama said, the boy's a sinner. He drinks. He runs around. He's terrible. I never saw an ugly woman in my life. I liked them fat. I liked them skinny. Ugly, black, white, green, yellow, purple. People say, fat ones? Man, a fat woman to give you heat in the summer and shade in the winter. It didn't make no difference to me. Son, I just didn't care. I was motivated by the devil. I didn't care about nothing else but sin. And playing music. And girls going, ah! And young people, that's your mama doing that. The success of the world. Made a lot of money. I have been rich. I have been poor. Rich is better. I have. But I never had anything in my life until I stood at the throne of God. Hallelujah. There's such a thing as a God coming to my life. I don't even know if he exists. I didn't know nothing other than religion. See, but I had enough sense to know. I could hear mama saying, you come to the throne of God, God will accept you. And he did. Wash my sin away. Went to church and freaked out everybody. Now, remember that? Went to church, had on embroidery. And I used to wear a lot of jewelry and hair. People go, oh. I never could get saved in a church. Why? Because they always tried to clean the fish before they caught it. I couldn't get saved in the church. Hey, they cut that hair, boy. I said, you need to grow some. Yeah, get that jewelry off your neck, son. I'll tell you what, let's go. And I knew what was wrong with me. I need to know what could be right with me. I couldn't get saved in the church. I don't know. Because everybody was judging. The Lord spoke to me. I want you to listen to this. Boldness is courage and confidence of free access to God. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. The Lord told me something. You know, I can understand the heathen wanting to kill us. The Lord woke me up during the Iraq war there. Saddam Hussein, all that stuff. He woke me up. It was about 3 o'clock. He said, get up, put the television on. I'll show you something. I said, what? Put the television on. So, man, okay, God, put the television on. What? And this guy, I don't know who the reporter was, says, we just had a tank hit by friendly fire. You know, most Christians are not hit by the devil. They're hit by friendly fire. We're killing ourselves. The Lord says, see that? That's what's the problem with my church. He said, they're shooting each other with friendly fire. He said, they got people that won't come to meetings because they've been hurt by some other Christian. Bombing them. Missiles. He said, don't you ever put a missile in your hand to hit one of my people. I said, Lord, I'm gonna mess up bad. He said, I know. He said, but I saw all their flaws and I still saved them. I said, okay. Get away from friendly fire. You don't have to agree with everybody. I don't agree with everybody. I don't agree with everything Oral Roberts says. That shocks you? I don't. I don't agree with everything R.W. Shambach says. I give you one better than that. I don't believe in everything I say. That's the truth. Sometime I'm preaching something, come flying out by faith. I go, no, bring it back. No, the Lord said, stretch to that. Like Brother Copeland said last night, you can't be 100% right. You just keep preaching. Give me boldness, Lord. How am I going to get my husband saved? Not by beating his brains out. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, I want you to pray for God to kill him. I said, I can't do that. He come to give life and that more abundant. If you'd live with him, you'd kill him. I said, that may be true, but I can't do that. I can't do that. Jesus couldn't go to funerals, ladies and gentlemen. He messed them up. You try to bury somebody. Get up! Never wanted to be dead anyway. Just go home. Yeah, a lot of junk in the body of Christ, but don't get friendly fire out. Let God handle that business. Let God handle that business. When you walk in the light of God's word, boldness stands in total victory when everything has fallen, why does it stand in total victory? Because of faith. You know, we were poor people. I was a poor child. We didn't have much growing up. It was amazing. I thought, boy, if I could just get enough money. I guess I wanted success for that reason, so I could just come out the dregs of life. My mother was a 220-pound Cajun woman. You don't mess with that kind of person, saved or unsaved. Especially if been eating Tabasco sauce since they're 6 months old. Mama was a big one. She'd beat me sometimes. I said, look, I knew. I wouldn't let my mama, man, 220 pounds, hit you. That's a lick. But she is fat. I'd run at her, and I'd just grab her and sink myself into that fat. I'd go, Mama, and she'd just go, get your hand off me. And she'd hit herself. I'd get up under one of them rolls, glory to God, so she wouldn't bust me up. I'm serious. She hit herself about 3 times, turned me loose. I told you, that's why I learned that heat and shade in the summer and winter. Praise God. I'd get cold. I remember as a kid, man, go to church, get cold. I'd just get up under mama's, get underneath that fat there, bless God, help me out. Mama was heavy. She didn't mind. She enjoyed it. Didn't bother her at all. I don't know if it bothered daddy. He wasn't allowed to say anything. He wasn't allowed to say nothing. My daddy was the head of the house, but he wasn't the boss. And I'll leave it like that. Anyway, we lived down in Venice, Louisiana. My daddy worked for Getty Oil Company. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I was about 5.5 years old. And we lived down a place called Sheffield Lane. The man that owned Sheffield's Cafe up at the front. We always lived back in the back. Right by the Mississippi River, by the levee. And he had a big complex. I don't want to call it a big complex, but, you know, some little rent houses and things. And me and my brother would play. We had a friend that we really enjoyed playing with. And they had another kid that lived in the neighborhood and only lived actually about, maybe 2 lots over from us. And this kid was an abused child because his father was an alcoholic and his mom was an alcoholic. This boy, he at 6 years old, would smoke cigars. And that would freak me out. I'd go, wow, man, smoking, he want to hit? No, no, no. You know, he just smoked cigars. His parents didn't care. His dad, I seen the father many times fall on the porch, drunk. Mama, too. Police come down there, pick up the kids, keep them for about 3 weeks, and I guess give them back to them, they'd be back. But this little boy's name was Fred. And Fred took a butter knife and stabbed one of my friends in the back, put it his back this deep. I mean, the ambulance had to come pick up my friend, which made me mad. Mad, man. So I told my brother, I said, we're going to whip Fred. My older brother said, okay, well, where are we going to whip him at? I said, look, I want you to get, we didn't have an inside toilet. We had an outside, had a three-holer. Yeah, that's good. I mean, know what I'm talking about. Yeah, a three-holer. The daddy holer, the mama holer, and the baby holer. You know, those three holers. And you used to be a hot shot, you had a three-holer. It's an outhouse, way out from the house is where it was. So I said, I'm gonna lure Fred in that outhouse. I said, when I open that door and he come and you just hit him. I said, I'll throw him down the hole. I was a bad kid. I was about 5.5 years old. I said, I don't have enough of Fred. Fred done stabbed our friend. We're gonna bust him today. So, boy, sure enough, man, old Fred come out there smoking his cigar. I'll never forget it. I said, hey, Fred, come here. What do you want? What do you want? I said, come here, I'll tell you something. I'll show you something in the outhouse. Just come see. There ain't nothing in there I want to see. Just come on there. Boy, there's my brother behind the door. And I was walking. I said, you see him? Here he comes. Here he comes. Open up that door. Boy, when he walked through that door, boom, Wayne hit him. Bless God. When Wayne hit him, I hit him too. I said, you stab my friend. We just beating him up. Boy, I'm trying to throw him. I put his head in that hole. I'm trying to get him down there. You get down there, bless God. He's going, ah! I guess you would too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm trying to throw him down that hole. But I said, you couldn't stab my friend. I'm 5.5 years old. This boy is screaming from the top of his lungs. We're trying to stuff him down that hole, man. But the problem was I had a head in one hole and his leg in the other. And there's something in between. You can't get him in there. I wanted to cut him in half, drop both halves in there. Bless God. I was so mad at him because he destroyed my little friend. You know, hurt my friend. He was a hollering. I hurt his daddy. Hurt. Mom, man. Boom. Out the door I ran. My brother ran. Fred come out. Oh, daddy cried. And man, that man said, oh, I'll kill you. When he said that, I froze. I'm 5.5 years old. I froze. And my brother Wayne said, run, Jesse, run. I'm going. Scared me. And he was drunk. And he had a Stilson wrench. Y'all from Fort Worth, you know much about monkey wrench, oil field wrench, pipe wrench. He said, I'll beat your brown, kill you, boy. Now I'm 5.5 going, yo. Oh. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I couldn't run. I was scared. Of course, I was wrong to be trying to throw his son down a hole, but, you know, I wasn't saved. So I'm sitting there, and Wayne's screaming, run, run. But Wayne was running, and all of a sudden, he gets from me to this monitor. Said, I'll beat your brains out, and he's drunk. All of a sudden, I heard something go, kick it. I turned around. There was my mama standing in the doorway with a .22 rifle pointed at man's head. She said, you touch that boy, and I'll kill you. Boldness came upon me. Boldness of such a degree. I looked at him and said, you want some of me? Come on. Boy, he looked like that. I said, shoot him, mama. I said, come on, man. I'll whip your son and whip you too. Mess with me? 5 and a half years old. Pop, mama said, shut up, Jesse. Shut up. She said, you touch my boy and I'm kidding. By that time, my daddy come driving up. He sees my mama with a .22 rifle. He sees the guy with the wrench like that, and I'm going, come on, Jack. I had boldness because something was behind me. My daddy said, my mother's name was Velma. He called her Vel. Vel, don't kill that man. And that man looked at him. He said, you think she would? He said, I live with this woman. She will kill you. She'll kill you. You touch that boy, she will kill you. Boy, mama had that 17 shots in that. She'd have put him in his head, buddy. You touch my boy and I'll kill you. Boy, I had boldness, you know. He said, he called my mother, mother, too. Sometimes he called her mama. He said, mama, put the gun down. Daddy trying to get people saved. Mama trying to kill him. She said, Paul, I hadn't crucified my flesh yet. You believe in raising from the dead? We'll see how much power you got. I'll bust him in a second. He touched Jesse. Man, the man dropped the wrench and backed away like this. I'll never forget this. Boy, and I was... And then it happened. Mama said, come here. Rapture. Now. Now. Come on. Let's go. Because I knew it's judgment day. I could see the Terminator in her. She's going to rip me apart. That's a true story. Why did I get boldness? Because there was somebody behind me with a gun. Let me tell you, that devil may be coming up to you, brother, with a wrench right ready to bust your head open. And you may have done something, and he just don't like it. Maybe he did something wrong. Maybe he did something right. But he come to kill, steal, and destroy. But all of a sudden, if you look back, you hear this. Come out! You'll turn around, and that's that Holy Ghost say, you touch that kid, and I'll blow your head off. You don't touch that kid. That's my boy. Hallelujah. Boldness produces that tongue-talking church in the Bible. You get the point? You get the point? It's wonderful. The Lord behind me. I don't remember this. When I was 2 and a half years old, I picked up that .22 rifle. I don't remember. Mama told me this. I picked it up, and it was loaded. I picked it up like that, and Mom and Daddy were sleeping. And I was barely could pick the thing up. And my daddy woke up, and I had the gun like this. And my daddy, he wakes my mom up and says, get the kid. Get the kid. Get the kid. Get the kid. He's going to kill us both. Get the kid. Now, I don't know. I don't remember. That was his baby. Trying to get that thing. That's just like the devil. See, you got some of you don't know enough about faith to do anything, but you got the machine gun in your hand. You're going. And the devil said, get the kid. Get the kid. Watch him. If he touch that trigger, we're in trouble. Watch him. Get the kid. Get the kid. The devil's more afraid of you than you are of him. Glory. Boldness. Hallelujah. Glory. Somebody shout, somebody. That's what I'm talking about. It's an ingredient. People say, you're trying to put on a show? No! Wait till I get to heaven, I'm going to be worse. I'm going to slide down them streets in my socks. Oh, man. I used to do it in school. I can't wait. I've been there. People say, I don't believe it. You never been there. I saw him. I know what he looks like. He put his hand on his shoulder. He's between 5'11" and 6'1". The Lord weighs between 180 and 185 pounds. He's got hair. I thought it was white till he turned his head and I saw it was brown. He said, you go tell my people I'm coming. I said, they know that. He said, no, they don't know that. They don't go tell my people I'm coming. I said, ain't nobody going to believe me. They're going to think I'm a fruitcake. He said, it don't make no difference. Go tell my people I'm coming. Ladies and gentlemen, you watching by television, he is coming. He's coming. He's coming. You better be ready to receive him. He's coming. Oh, well, give the Lord a hand clap. Do something. Boldness. Boldness. Hallelujah, Jesus. 1 John chapter 4. Turn to it quick. Hurry. I got a few minutes left. Y'all enjoying this? How can you not get healed? In a believer's convention. Yes, Lord, thank you. I'll say that. You know what some of you pastors ought to do? Believe God for enough money to bring your whole church to a believer's convention. Is your church full of a bunch of believers? Well, yes. Well, bring them to a believer's convention. This is the easiest place I've ever preached in my life. It's a believer's convention. I don't have deacons going back there going, tell you one thing, don't know what we're going to do. I've been to some deacon-possessed churches, I'll tell you that. I've been to some. Deacon-possessed, boy, tell you one thing here, bless God. That's the way we do things around here. Oh, yeah? I preach in all different types of churches. God has given me that ability, thank the Lord, favor, that I walk across the denominational barriers. I preach in Catholic Church. I've preached in St. Francis de Sales Catholic Church in Nunciata. They told me, said, listen, we like you, but don't touch the altar. The altar is holy. I said, okay. Remember that, Kathy? I got out there and don't want to say spot to the Sunday, and they went whole through the whole thing. I understand that because I've been Catholic. I got up there and started preaching. I preached on the biggest quail hunt in history. 20 billion, 400 million quail bit the dust in one lick. God can hunt. Boy, right in the middle of that mess, I got excited. People were shouting like you were shouting in the Catholic Church. The Jesuits behind there videoing it. Boy, and they said, wow, what are you going to do? And I just walked up on, I'm so used to walking up on a platform. My God, I walked, I said, and the altars. Then I went, glory! And I slapped that altar. And they all went, whoa! He slapped the altar. Then I went, I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. Boldness. I didn't want to slap the altar. I couldn't help it. I preached in the Episcopalian church one time. They don't have a pulpit in the front. They got it on the side. You go upstairs and sit in the stall. Stand up in the stall. Close the door. I said, Jesus is going to touch you today. Glory! And I kicked the door off the back of it. I'll never forget the pastor. He said, you can preach down here if you want. I preach in Baptist churches. Don't even believe in the Holy Ghost. I asked them, I said, why do y'all ask me to come? They went, we like you, Jesse. We just like you. I've had men say, now don't talk about them tongues. I said, Eli will come out when the least expect it. I ain't promising nothing. It's a forgotten ingredient, boldness. See, you can be healed today. You can be saved today. You know, they got people come to believe in convention, not even saved. You know, if you walk around town going, people will follow you. They'll follow you. I jog a little bit and at the hotel, I said, I called, said, y'all have kind of a jogging track in the hall. So I decided to run 15 flights. Like to kill myself. I ran them 15. I got to the top. I said, Lord. He said, I see you. I said, well, carry me if you see me. I can't walk 15 flights, man. Now people say, you talk to the Lord like it? Yes. Why? He's my friend. Oh, you there at 1 John? Good. I love this. 1 John 4, verse 17. I got 3 minutes. 5 minutes. The Lord's increasing the time, praise God. All right. 1 John 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect or matured. Why? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. What does that mean? The Bible said we're going to judge angels. Whoo, you're going to need boldness to judge an angel. What? Is that in the Bible? Yes. Where is it? Go find it. Just go find it. It's in here. It's right here. He said you'll judge angels. Look, in the day of judgment. Uh-oh. You're going to have boldness standing there looking at an angel and say, well, this is what the Lord said, boy. That shocks you? You ought to read the Bible. It's a good book. Herein is our love made perfect or matured, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, I love this next statement. I wish the church believed it, but they don't. Because as he is, so are we. That man said, who do you think you are? Chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar person, steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, For I know my labor not in vain in God. Not weary and well do it. In due season, I'll reap if I faint not. God be for me, who can be against me? I said, don't get mad at me about that. I didn't say that about me. God said that about me. I just bought a new international headquarter building. It was a miracle of Jesus. They lent $1 million on it, and we bought it for $250,000 through the federal government. Isn't that amazing? And you know, they was trying to, they first wanted $750,000 for it, then they first tried to get $500,000, and the Lord said, offer them $250,000. I said, okay. They said, how much? I said, $250,000. $250,000. $250,000. What you want me to do? Here's a federal government man. It was a big SNL bailout thing. Federal government man and the vice president of a bank. He said, sir, this building's worth way more. I mean, the bottom floor, the bottom two suites is worth that amount. I said, I know. I agree with you 100%. I said, listen, gentlemen, if you can change God's mind, I'll pay whatever he says. Just tell him to tell me. I don't care. I'll pay whatever he said. You ought to see that vice president. He went, you could see it in their face. We should have went to church. We should have went to church. We should have went to church. I bought it. I'm putting my television studios upstairs. It's great. Sometime I went the other day and I just tried to hug the building. It's 11,000 square feet. You can't, you know. I just said, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I got some gentlemen across the street of a different persuasion. They're hairdressers. They're nervous. Said, did you hear there's an evangelist bought that building? He liable to come and lay hands on us. I shocked him the other day. I have a balcony on it, but it looks like a big plantation home. I was out there. They walked out and I went, hey! They went, oh. I shocked the woman yesterday at the hotel. I know she wasn't one of the people in the Believers Convention. You could tell. And I come down, I ran at 15. I went up. Then I went down. It's easier to go down than it is to go up. So I said, I'm not going either way. I'm going to go back up on the elevator. So I got in there and this lady says, would you mind pushing my floor? I said, yes, ma'am. So I pushed the floor. I said, you here for the Believers Convention? No. I said, you should be. Well, what do y'all believe? I said, Jesus Christ, knowing him. Well, I go to church. I said, well, so does the devil. That's true. She said, you seem to be very strong in what you believe. I said, lady, I quit believing years ago. You did. I said, I know in whom I have believed. I know.
I can't help it. That's why I'm full of joy. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm healed. Listen, I ain't looking for money. Money looking for me. I'm sorry. This works. It works. I can't help it. I've had some people say, I'll tell you what, you're so easy for you. Man, I preach for $2 a week. But all I needed was $1.50. I preached a meeting one time, drove 300 miles, and they gave me a Dr. Pepper. A Dr. Pepper. I drove all the way back to New Orleans. I said, Kathy, she said, did they give you an offering? I said, they gave me a Dr. Pepper. My wife has wonderful as you. She says, well, thank God you wasn't thirsty. I got 30 seconds. One more. I was believing God one time. I said, God, I got to do this special. It's going to cost me 20 grand. Do you understand? Just to let you know that. He said, don't count pennies looking at omnipotence. I said, okay, but I need 20 grand. I was coming back from Houston Hobby at night. I said, Jesus, I need 20. He said, look in your pocket. I said, there ain't nothing in my pocket, Lord. I said, listen, is it coming in the mail tomorrow? Boy, I hope the mail money's good tomorrow, God. We need that $20,000. I got to be at Cox Cable. I got to be at Cox Production. I Cox go all over the night. I said, I got to have that money. He said, look in your pocket. I got angry at God. I stood up. I said, look, I ain't got nothing in my pocket left. There's nothing. He said, look in the other pocket. Oh, the other pocket. Okay. I mean, and I looked and I felt, and this lady, as I was walking out, handed me a check. She said, put this towards your television ministry. I thought it was $10. If it had been $50, I'd have shouted. But I said $10. I looked at it. And I'm sitting on a plane. And I opened it up. And the check was for $20,000. Wait. Don't hurry. I got 20 seconds. Don't take my time. $20,400. I went, yo! I just hollered. Couldn't help it. My wife picked me up that night. I got to the house. I said, Kathy, give this to the office. Tell them to write them a tax deductible receipt. This goes toward television ministry for tomorrow. Here. And I walked out like that, and Kathy took it. And I walked in my study, and our bedroom's on the other side. And all of a sudden, I heard Kathy go, woo! Glory! I walked in, I said, what's the matter with you, woman? You ain't got no faith. Then I heard that powerful word. Yes, it. Repent. 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 One quick thought. Forgiveness is in the soul, but repentance is in the spirit. Church knows a lot about forgiveness, but very little about repentance. Turn from. Go the other way. If you understand what I said, you'll have the forgotten ingredient called boldness. Give Jesus a hand clap. Brother Jerry comes.